Warner, Town Council Meeting of July 17th, 2018.
Welcome. Thank y'all for being here. I'm going to call the meeting to order after clerk call roll.
Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Marshburn? Councilmember Behringer?
Here.
Councilmember Johns?
Present.
Councilmember Kennedy?
Here.
And Councilmember Single?
Here.
I'm going to call on Councilmember Kathy Behringer. Listen, pledge of allegiance. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Mr. Mayor, I've asked Pastor Ryan Jackson, the senior pastor at the Capitol Church, to bring the invocation this evening.
Welcome.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this gathering tonight and for our community. I want to thank you for the relative peace and safety that we live in here, and we acknowledge that many people in many parts of the world do not enjoy the peace and the safety and the comfort and the freedoms that we have in the place where we live. And so we are grateful for all of these things that you have provided for us. We know that the powers that be, the word says, are ordained of God. And so we pray, Lord, that these powers that be would be directed by you, that you would give wisdom and clarity, that you would give compassion, that you would administer through them your justice, and that you would bless them with influence and integrity and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Tell us what's going on at Capitol Church.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight and to pray for you all. We pray for you frequently, even when we're not here. So, may the Lord continue to bless you guys. You're doing a great job, and we thank you for that. I just brought with me some flyers tonight about the Global Leadership Summit for all of you who are here. They're out on the table on the outside. It's an event that's not just our church event. It's about 445,000 people watch this globally. It appears on August the 9th and 10th, and we're just the local host site. So it's all kind of Fortune 500 company execs. The senior vice president of retail from Apple, Angela Arendt, is there. Sheila Heen, a faculty from Harvard Law School. John Maxwell, maybe you heard that leadership name. Strive Masiwaya, the Econet Group philanthropist. Just a lot of great leaders in the business community. And this leadership summit goes out to hundreds of thousands across the globe. We just happen to be hosting it here in Garner at our church site. So it's not about our church, and it's not about none of the proceeds come to us. It's all about the Global Leadership Summit. So if you're interested in enhancing leadership, we just believe when a leader gets better, everybody wins. So that's what we're trying to do, just enhance leadership and build relationships. And if you want more information, those flyers are out there. Thanks for giving that opportunity, sir. God bless you all.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is petitions and comments. That is time on the agenda for anyone to address the council on an item which is not on tonight's agenda. If you wish to address the council, go to the podium. State your name and address. Try to limit your comments 3 minutes. Welcome.
Good evening. I would like to extend my thank yous to the mayor and the chamber for hearing my concerns in the community. I love Garner. I've been in my house for 20 years, so not going anywhere. I just have three simple questions. I know there are other things on the agenda tonight that are probably a little more pertinent. The first thing is I live in the Woodland subdivision near the new Garner High School. I have a rising junior and a rising freshman. Speed throughout. Yes, sir.
Take your name and address.
Jeff Canavan. Jeff Canavan. I'm sorry.
It's my fault. Thank you.
No problem. And the speed throughout that neighborhood has continuously been absurd. The stop sign at the corner of Ford Gates and Buckhorn is virtually ignored. I am petitioning for speed bumps or speed tables to be put into that neighborhood to ensure child safety. And also with the impending new school opening, there are going to be a lot of teenagers, and I'm a driver's ed teacher, who are going to go flying through that stop sign. And that really worries me. So that's the first thing. Secondly, the intersection that comes away from White Oak as you're going 70 west and you hit the Vandora Springs intersection. In my opinion, as a layperson involved in transportation, I would love to see us have some kind of traffic signal there, even if it's something between the hours of 2 and 6 p.m. that would lend the traffic pattern to flow a little easier. The exit there is a little long, waiting, etc. So, and then you could go to flashing lights after the peak hours, etc. And then finally, my last thing is just a simple question. I'm excited about the White Oak development. I'm excited about all the things that are going on there. I'm just kind of curious. I understood there was a hotel, the Drury, that was supposed to go in. What is the
status?
Prognosis, or is it dead, or is it still going? What are the effects for the community?
Mr. Manager, will you answer that?
Sure, I will. So the last we heard from them, it's a family-owned hotel. They still own the lot on the corner. And they look for certain market conditions before they develop a hotel.
Okay.
And right now they feel like it's not the right time for them. They're just waiting for maybe a little more development, a little more maybe business clientele, and maybe even other hotels, because they do like to cluster but around each other. But they're just kind of waiting for their whatever conditions they would like to see is from the market and the surrounding area before they build.
Sure.
So they haven't told us, you know, they're not going to do it, but they haven't given us a timeline on when it's going to
property happen. Values and quality of life being at the forefront. I appreciate that.
A couple items. You mentioned the intersection, Four Gates and Spring Drive. To get the traffic calming measures in that neighborhood, we have a process, and you can contact our staff, see if one of them can give you contact one of our assistant managers, Mr. Hodges, Mr. Roylance.
Outstanding.
And they can help you. That's a process that you have to get neighborhood consensus on doing something like that.
Sure.
We'll have a rising junior and rising freshman at the high school this year, so and my rising junior is supposed to be driving there. So we'll see when you're
there. I share junior. Your concern, sir.
Yes. So I understand that because I drove, that Four Gates wasn't there when I went to school there, but that intersection was different there. It was different than it is now. But
yes.
I went to school there too and drove down Spring Drive to get to the high school. If Vandoran 70, that being a state intersection, state roads, I don't know what can be done there. You know, they're going to be getting ready to replace the Highway 50 bridge.
Gotcha.
And you get that done, they can go to do the Vandoran bridge. That intersection may change quite a bit at that time. You
gotcha.
Don't know.
Gotcha.
Until the design's done. That's somewhere down the road, but they're 50 they've selected the plan of what they're going to do there. That's supposed to go out to bid right away. This is sometime the next year, start construction in the next 18 months, I think. And it's an 18-month project, roughly. So, isn't that right, guys? Supposed to be ready in 3 to 4 years. And then the state said they were going to start the Vandoran Springs bridge process. But I agree sometimes that getting off at 70 Vandoran there can be it can be. There are quite a few accidents bump up there. There's no question about that. We can ask, I'll ask the police, you know, if that accident report is a high number, if we need to ask the state for any assistance. But, you know, again, that's a state road, two state roads coming together.
And I appreciate that, sir. And at the limit of what I'm allowed, which I respect, what is the reality of getting some kind of speed mechanism within that neighborhood?
That's part of the process that he was explaining. There's a few steps. You have to get some neighbor buy-in.
Gotcha.
You can't just put them in just because one neighbor was a concern. And we also have to do a speed study. And it's somewhere like 80% town of the drivers have to be doing over the speed limit and those type of things. And so that will all be evaluated.
But it did occur. We went through that process. Well, Greenbrier went through that process 10 years ago, and speed tables were wound up being the design preference and the one that was recommended and implemented.
Good.
So if you'd ride through, I'm going to say try winter locking, because what people were doing was cutting through from 70 onto Jessup Drive down Winterlock and coming out on 401.
Okay. Okay.
So there's a couple of streets in there that have speed tables on them.
And another neighborhood is in Cloverdale. They had it on Meadowbrook, which is a cut through from Garner, from Western Road, from North Garner, you cut through and avoid a lot of traffic and come out on the other end of Garner, other end of Cloverdale, and down near Tryon Road. And so they were installed on that street. They didn't do the whole neighborhood because you didn't have to. They did the neighbors on that street, which is the main cut through. In your case, it may be four gates and not the whole neighborhood. But just focus on one street, the cut through street, instead of the whole neighborhood. That's where you get more buy-in from people, because if everybody on that street is concerned about speed, then you have a lot easier time in the neighborhood than the whole neighborhood.
Just trying to be not passive aggressive, but active. So yes, I appreciate yours.
What's your address? Can you live in that neighborhood?
I live at 1003 Buckwood Road.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Ron. Regard to the Drury Inn, Triangle Business Journal recently listed White Oak Shopping Center as, I believe, the fourth largest shopping center in the area.
Wow.
Which should be a good indicator that the growth is coming that will support a hotel. So things are looking good there. I don't know when, but it's a positive picture.
Awesome.
May I say I appreciate the vocation that you're in.
Thank you, sir.
Please teach them well. I see a lot of these youngsters out there.
I do my best, sir.
I'm sure you do. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else want to speak on the petition and comments? Our next is the adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I'll move that we adopt the agenda as has been prepared by the clerk.
Sir, I believe I'd like to ask you also to add a couple of closed sessions, one on acquisition of interest in real property and one on potential litigation. I'll give the citations at a later time.
Okay, the attorney adding two, so we'll address that when we get to it. But there's a motion to adopt the agenda. There's a second. All in favor by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Carried. Any presentations? Consent.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we'll approve the consent agenda as it stands, that be added or deletion.
Second. Motion second. All in favor by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Next, public hearings. General use free zoning of Z18-03, 3008 Highway 7 East, Annette Patel. He will make the presentation on behalf of the town. I'll open a public hearing.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Hep Patel. I'm the senior planner for transportation and land use for the town. I'm here to present the general use rezoning for 3008 U.S. Highway 70 East. This is a town-initiated general use rezoning. The owners are Harvey and Mildred Gordon Ayers. The location, as I mentioned, is 3008 U.S. Highway 70 East. The track is about 1.09 acres, and we are here today for the public hearing. This will then go to Planning Commission at their August meeting, and we'll come back to you at your September meeting for action. So, as I mentioned, this is a town-sponsored request for general use rezoning to correct an error from the 2017 ETJ expansion. In 2017, the town initiated an ETJ expansion that was a two-step process. The first step was bringing properties into the town's ETJ, and the second was to rezone them to a town zoning district as opposed to a Wake County zoning district. And this parcel got missed when that process happened in the second part of the process, so we're coming back to do that right now. There are no development plans. As I mentioned, the site is located on U.S. Highway 70 East, right at the edge of the town's ETJ, right to the east of Guy Road. The adjacent zoning and land use is R40 to the north, which includes single-family residential and some vacant land. HD, which is the highway district for Wake County, to the south, which is being currently used as agricultural land, R40 to the east, which is a vacant parcel as well, and then service business to the west, which is a auto parts and a self-service business. Zoning history, as I mentioned in the following cases in this area, the big one is the Z1701, which is the Town of Garner ETJ expansion, bringing in a lot of Wake County highway districts and converting them to a either service business or an appropriate use along US 70 corridor. There were others in 2016 that were also rezoned from a Wake County highway district to either service business or industrial use along US 70 corridor. So the existing zoning classification is Wake County Highway District, which is basically a low density residential district. It would be comparable to the R30 district for Garner. And the highway district for Wake County also includes some non-residential uses, which are allowed under special use permit. The requested zoning classification is service business, which accommodates commercial activities that are a little bit more intense than the neighborhood commercial or commercial retail districts. Following are uses that are permitted in the service business zoning district. The uses that you see in highlighted in yellow would have restrictions because of the US 70 401 thoroughfare overlay that is part of our UDO. So bars and nightclubs would be prohibited within 500 feet of residential use. Adult-oriented businesses prohibited within 1,000 feet of residential use. Same with extended stay facility, 500 feet within residential uses. And then additionally, veterinarian kennel outdoor use is also prohibited within 500 feet of residential. Car wash is prohibited within 500 feet, and vehicle towing within 500 feet of residential uses. So I mentioned the US 70 401 thoroughfare overlay district. This actually highlights other uses that are prohibited in the overlay, like drive-in movie theaters, outside storage of goods not related to sales, scrap materials, junkyards, mining or mining operations, landfill, solar farms, commercial greenhouse operations. And then there are a few uses that are restricted based on how their proximity to residential uses, which would be the hotel, motel, pools, bars, nightclubs. And then there's some uses that would be allowed but have some additional standards or would require a special use permit under the zoning. And those include outdoor storage, display of goods for sale, manufactured home sales, motor vehicle sales, automobile service center, automobile repair shops, veterinarian or kennels, car washes and truck terminals. There is existing water infrastructure running along the north side of US Highway 70 East, opposite of the road. The site does not have access to sewer, so if the site were developed, a private septic system would probably be required. In regards to the transportation infrastructure, the site has 475 feet of frontage on US Highway 70. US Highway 70 is a NCDOT maintained facility within a 200 feet right away. In this area, the approximate traffic vehicles is about 29,000 vehicles per day. No additional traffic impacts are anticipated as a result of this rezoning. And road improvements would likely would be evaluated at the time of any development plans come in. In regards to the environment, there is no 100-year floodplain as delineated by the FEMA flood insurance maps. And in regards to zoning consistency, the 2008 Garner Forward Comprehensive Plan identifies this site as corridor commercial. Corridor commercial is a category we use, which is located along highways and major arterials. It emphasizes commercial centers that have individual driveways, separate parking lots. They have their own unique signage and differentiated building material styles. Permitted uses in this category include operations with outdoor storage and outdoor sales display areas. But for these uses, special emphasis is normally placed on landscaping and screening as US 70 is a corridor that's a gateway into the community for the traveling public. So today, council's action is to recommend this rezoning to Planning Commission at their August 13th meeting, and staff will be providing their findings at the August 13th Planning Commission meeting.
Okay, anybody want to speak to this question?
I just had one question, sort of curiosity question, so you don't answer, fine. The site, much of it is paved over or has asphalt. Do you know what it was used for previously?
I think my understanding is it was either a bar or some type of a
club or bar.
Oh, okay. It was a club.
It was a club, yeah. A bar club.
Okay. Thank you.
They have a water line, I see. How far did that water line extend to Selma?
In which directions? The water line?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a water line on the other side of US 70, so if there was a connection to be made, I think that would be something very difficult to do. I don't necessarily know if they would be able to, where they would have to make that connection.
And I think he was asking how far does it extend down 70? Where you see it terminate here on the map, that's as far as it goes.
Oh.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's almost at Rock Cry Road, I think.
I think so.
Okay.
Rock Quarry. He said Rock Quarry, but I don't
know.
Yeah, I think it's a little ways from
there. This hitting close to Rock Quarry right here.
I think it stops there in front of the church.
We're on Highway 70, which is on. It's not going right. This is down there near the there's businesses on the west side. Before you get to the NC State Farm.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about, but I was wondering. Okay, I got you. That's fine.
Okay, anyone in the audience will speak to this? I'm closing the public hearing. Refer to the Planning Commission.
There is a well on site. There is a well on site.
We don't understand what you're saying.
You need to come to the podium.
Hello, sirs. His name's ma'am. My name is Stephen Farrell of Clayton. This site is owned by my wife and my sister-in-law. And there's a standalone sewer plant, small structure. It was going to take $60,000 to replace. But it's inspected and certified by the state, and I've still got to do some work cleaning it up. There is water line, which a buyer went in and looked at and put power to it and got some water samples, and it looked good. But we approve. We're asking for approval.
Give his name and address. Can you give us your name and address, please?
Yes, sir. Stephen Farrell, F-E-R-R-E-O-L, 111 Hamby Street in Clayton.
You say there's a well there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and some type of septic treatment system.
Yes, sir. This system is standalone. It was purchased back in 74 when it was a tavern, when the Johnson County was dry.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else? Okay, I want to close the public hearing. Refer this to the Planning Commission. Mr. Trinsberg.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council.
Good evening.
Today I have before you for the public hearing the text amendment that we discussed at the last work session. Hopefully, if you had time to read through the report, maybe it all made a little more sense this time around. but we are, at the request of the Downtown Development Manager's Office, entertaining the addition of two uses into the CBD zoning district. Those two uses are outdoor athletic or entertainment facilities that are privately held, as well as indoor-only manufacturing and production. The entertainment, any kind of use that comes forward in the future related to that would come before you as a special use permit for additional approval, so it would be very site-specific. And in the case of the indoor-only manufacturing and production, we have suggested doing that as a permitted with standards use. And then on page 51 of your packet, those additional standards are listed. So in addition to typical industrial concerns like vibration, noise, various emissions and odors and glare and things of that nature, we have also added a condition that any manufacturing and production uses shall not be permissible within the existing commercial buildings in downtown Garner located along Main Street between Montague and Griffin. So that would take out those buildings along Main Street and only allow this particular use in any other part of the CBD. So anything that's not directly really facing Main Street. So it'd be parcels that are back on Grand Mill, potentially if anything were to get rezoned on Purvis, and then some of the properties further down towards New Rand that are also zoned CBD. I think with that said, please ignore the, I'm not sure where that second section 3 came from when I sent it over, but the recommendation is that upon conducting the public hearing and receiving any public comment, that you close the public hearing and refer the matter to the Planning Commission for their input on the 13th. We did send mailing notices out to those folks who own property in the CBD, and I know we've fielded a couple of phone calls, and to my knowledge, those that we have talked to have all been either supportive or did not express any concerns at the very least.
Councilmember, I have a question.
One question. I think I asked it last time. I can't remember now. I think the thought crossed my mind when we say manufacturing production should not be permissible use on any existing buildings on Main Street. And I asked about a some type of
brewing.
Name just escaped what I was going to say. Some place that makes beer or brew, a place like that. That would not be allowed here, or that would be viewed as not manufacturing?
It depends on their exact setup. The way we decided to approach those uses, it depends on how much of the space or how much of their revenue is generated from retail sales versus the actual production. So if it's a business that is more on the retail side of things, that would be allowed as a retail use anywhere in the CBD. But if it is strictly primarily production, either in terms of dollars generated or square footage, we would look at that then, that it would be not permitted.
Question.
Okay, I'm just not... I've been down east last week for a few days out of town with my family, and I was in Beaufort, and they're building a massive one that is a brewing facility. And then a place that used to be a restaurant got split, and it is, well, that's on the main drag on Front Street. Then on Turner Street, there's another one that's, you're saying, I hope we're not, interested in doing that, and then we change again.
We have toyed with the idea of introducing that as a separate use category. We haven't done that as of yet. We've just kind of relied on our existing ability to interpret the use table as it is. But if we find that we need to go back, though, and create a separate use specifically for that, that is something we have entertained.
Because if I include from Montague Street to Griffin, you include the corner of Purdue and Purvis. Purvis or Purdue, whatever street it is, on Main Street. The new building has not been built yet. It's out the rec center. Who knows where that may be. So, okay, I'm through.
There's been some discussion about the use of the building we own at 120, maybe East Main, you know, 120, where fire department was.
Yes.
And we're talking about incubator businesses there. Is that part of the excluded area? So what if we have an incubator, if we were trying to, is the professed use of that facility in conflict with the restrictions that would be placed on it by adoption of this
one? I don't believe so. I believe that most incubator uses are going to be office oriented. I would imagine that they would have much in the way of production.
Right, and that's correct. And that's the way economic development and downtown manager are setting it up for more for office use and also for office use by the downtown Garner Association, the downtown manager. So they don't propose to have any manufacturing out of that facility.
That's all.
Okay, this other public hearing. Want to entertain comments from the audience? Mr. Carroll.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. My name is Lee Carroll. I presently have the business on Main Street as Carroll Service Company, which is 125 West Main Street. I've occupied the space for heating and air conditioning since 1990. Presently, started out down there in 1981, matter of fact, and I believe I'm the oldest company downtown. So for me to give up my address is pretty unique. My son's taking the business over, and I want to see it make 50 years plus. I wound up buying property downtown, putting it together for different reasons. Downtown was not necessarily the best of places to be when I started down there, and it was condemned by a lot of people. So I said I'd just buy up the property and see what I can do with it down the road. Well, I've never been satisfied with anything coming down there until now. With the rec center on one side and the water tower with the new parking lot on the other side, I'm sandwiched in. So it's my belief, you know, it's time to move. Oh, I own some more property on Purpose Street. I'd like to relocate there. If once all this is done, I plan on doing it in three stages. Stage one would be getting the brewery in operation and the event center going. Stage two would be getting the building built on Purpose Street, getting that rezoned. Stage three would revitalizing my building into either event center or even I'm considering a restaurant facility. There's quite a few obstacles to overcome, but, you know, we work as a team. We can get this done. But everybody I've talked to seems to be all for it. I have no negative activity about it. So I'm going to be spending a lot of money downtown. And for 25 years, I tried to do something. So now I'm going to do it. This is my last chance.
Any comments?
Well, I can't imagine you doing anything that would be detrimental to downtown if you were.
No, it's special in my heart. It's
you put 25 years of your life and your money into it. The next thing you're going to do is going to be right. So, yes, if you have any problem dealing with our folks, which I don't think you'll have, we'll see you again.
Mr. Carroll, I'm pleased to hear you. You're not going too far. You said you were moving over to Purpose Street, I believe.
I'm a little deaf in this ear, so
say that again. Speak up, Ken. Yeah. You're not moving your business too far. You said you're moving to Purpose Street. Yeah.
I've got 125 West Main Street. Presently is on the Main Street itself.
Mm-hmm.
I own the lot right beside of it, which is, I believe, is 121 Main Street. And that's what we've been used for parking over the years. And then I own the lot behind that, which I built two warehouses. Somewhere along 92-3, so in that area. And then after that, stuff was going kind of downhill with Main Street, so I wound up buying the Thompson property behind that, which is 3/4 of an mm-hmm. acre. And then next to that was an old cinder block abandoned house that was about condemned, so I bought that property and tore it down and rebuilt a brand new house. So I was planning on going all the way down to 70, but then people got kind of wrong idea, so I just kind of let it back until now.
I'm pleased to hear that your son's going to be able to take over the business. You guys have been around for a long time, done some work for me in the past.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the public hearing. refer this to the planning commission. New and old business, Pam Worthen. Where's Pam?
I don't know, sure. Pam, are you, Ms. Worthen, you ready for your presentation on the bonds?
Lost track of the agenda. Good evening, Mayor, Mr. Mayor and council members. I brought to you tonight a resolution for bond issuance. We are proposing to sell $4,050,000 in bonds. $992,000 of those will go for Parks and Rec. That will actually leave us $600,000 approximately in the Parks and Rec bond fund. Downtown redevelopment, we are proposing to borrow $753,000. That will issue all of the debt in that category. And for street and sidewalks, we're issuing $2,305,000. That will leave us about $6.6 million. The official statement should go out August 3rd, and the sell date will be August 14th, and anticipating to close on August 30th. We had Moody's and Standard & Poor's in last week. Moody's was by phone, but Standard & Poor's actually visited with us. We gave her, it ended up only being one person coming, but we gave her a tour of the town, showed her where all of our new development is. She was very impressed with that part and commented. She's not sure that they can actually give us an upgrade at this point, but she said we may need to see how the development continues to grow and how it pans out. But she was impressed with the amount of development that we have. We did specifically ask each one of those to give us an upgrade or to at least consider giving us an upgrade. We should have those back, I think, by the end of next week. We'll get a preliminary report that we can respond to. It's a press release that they will give us about an hour to respond to. Excuse me, they'll follow that up with a full report. But it will be ready to go so that we can issue the preliminary official statement on August 3rd. And that's the summary of that. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Of the street and sidewalks, none of that is for the roundabout at Ackerman, Hebron, White Oak, is it?
No, sir. It is for some general intersection improvements, but I don't know that everything has been identified at this point. But I think a large portion of that is Newman Road on the
north end.
North end.
Okay.
So the Parks and Rec money, is that all going to for the rec center? The completion of the rec center?
No, sir. All the money for the rec center has been borrowed. This is for general Parks and Rec improvements.
Okay.
Greenway, was there something else specific?
I think it's primarily Greenway and some reimbursement. Keep in mind that often when we borrow the money is not when we've spent the money. And so I think the primary project is Greenway and some reimbursement of some of the other projects that have been completed, but we had not borrowed yet.
Okay, so the street and sidewalks, some of that is for New Rand Road on the north end. And what else? Is there a specific thing to be borrowed?
I think that is the only specific project. The rest of that, I think, is, again, borrowing now to reimburse for projects that were already in progress, like some of the street improvements at the rec center.
That's the same on the last one for the downtown redevelopment. That's the same situation, scenario there, correct?
That is reimbursing for property acquisition and stormwater, and that completes that bond.
Okay. They will be in less than a month.
Anything else?
Do we have a motion?
Yeah. Adopt a resolution.
Mayor, I move that we adopt resolution number 20182355. Providing for the sale and issuance of not to exceed $4,050,000 in general obligation public improvement bond series 2018.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Question. While we're on the subject, anybody got any idea when the New Rand Road project will go to construction?
Yeah.
We have received preliminary cost estimates, so I think we would likely prepare for utility moves in the fall of this year for construction in spring of next year.
Thank you.
Very good. White County Volunteer Agriculture District, David Bamford.
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. This is a request by Wake County for all cities and towns in the county to enter into a memorandum of understanding with them to administer the Voluntary Agricultural District Program within the corporate limits. Currently, the program applies to all county areas and also the ETJ areas. So they are asking that we would consider allowing them to administer the program within the town limits. So some background information. The General Assembly did pass an act that authorized cities and authorized counties and cities and towns to undertake programs to encourage the preservation of family farms. And currently, Garner does not have such ordinance, but Wake County does. And they adopted their ordinance in 2002 and later updated it in 2016. And this program is administered by the Wake Soil and Water Conservation District Department, which is under the Wake County Environmental Services Department. Some information on the Wake County program. There's approximately 35 voluntary agricultural districts in the county. This includes approximately 51 different property owners, approximately 128 parcels, totaling about 6,000 acres. In order for a property owner to participate in this program, they need to have they need to engage in either horticultural, agricultural, or forestry activities. And there's certain acreage sizes for those types of activities. A property owner would fill out an application. It would go through a review process, and if it was approved, the property would be mapped on the Wake County Agricultural District map. And there's also a free sign that the property owner can post on the property to show pride in preserving the family farm. And it's important to note that the program is voluntary, that a property owner may withdraw at any time for any reason. So if there's development pressures on a site, then the property owner can withdraw from the program. This is a map of the different agricultural districts in the county. And there are currently three located within Garner's ETJ area. The first is located off of 1010 Road near the intersection of NC50. This is a 20 and a half acre site. There's another agricultural district located off of New Bethel Church Road, just west of the new high school. And this is a 16.33 acre site. And just north of there is a larger tract, almost 100 acres. And so those three sites are currently participating in the county program. So in order for property owners within the corporate limits to participate, the city or town would need to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the county for them to administer this program. And staff has reviewed this request, and we have no objections, and we would recommend that the town enter into this agreement with the county so that property owners within the town limits can participate in this program. And in your staff report, we go into a little more detail on possible areas inside the town limits that may have p- potential to participate. There's some tracks along Old Stage Road. There's some tracks along East Garner Road in between Creech Road and Sausage Road. So there's very few sites that would probably qualify, but I will stop there. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I don't hear you, David. We're good.
Any motion, Mayor?
Yeah.
I move that we direct staff to enter to a memorandum
of understanding.
Understanding with Wake County regarding voluntary agricultural districts.
Second. Motion and second. Further discussion. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Patel.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm here to present to you the White Oak Ackerman Hebron Church Intersection Improvements Project Phase 2, scope of services and budget. So Phase 1 of the project is nearing completion by the end of this month. At the June 19th meeting, we town council selected alternative 3 as the preferred alternative, the dual partial, dual lane roundabout. So we're working on finalizing the environmental documentation on that preferred alternative, and we're looking to move forward into phase 2 for designing of the improvements for the preferred alternative, which would go from this month to January 2019. So phase 1, just briefly, we did some data collection, looked at alternatives developments, had public involvement, and selected a preferred alternative. Phase 2 will actually take that preferred alternative and take it into the preliminary engineering and final design plans, have right-of-way plans, some construction plans, and utility relocation coordination, as well as agency coordination with CAMPO and NCDOT. So the budget for Phase 1 was $109,884, and the budget for phase 2 for the scope services identified is $220,740. And as I mentioned, the tasks are outlined below 1 through 5. I just wanted to give you guys a summary of project costs sort of to date, as well as what we're looking at moving forward. So the things that you see outlined in green, the line items, are items that are 100% funded by the town. And anything that's in red would be something that we get applied towards the LAP funding from the Capital Area MPO. So phase 1, which was an alternative study, which we're completed, are about to complete now, is the first one. Phase 2, which we're about to enter into, would be $220,740, which would include the design. Right-of-way construction cost estimate contingencies are subject to LAP reimbursement. Had some conversations with the engineering department and a construction bidding phase. The town would likely be able to kind of administer that, but they would need some support to actually get the bid package together. And so there's a cost estimate for that. Construction management going into next year, once the project goes through the LAP cycle and we're actually looking at construction management, that's something that can also be reimbursed through the LAP program. So we've an identified total cost estimate for the project for the LAP portion is $1.6 million. And a total estimate, including phase 2 of design, just to kind of give you an idea of what the design as well as construction and everything combined would be, is $1.9 million. And just wanted to mention that the construction bid phase and the construction management phase are rough estimates that we've sort of developed using other research from DOTs nationwide, as well as some of the ongoing town engineering projects. And so the town contribution so for this project would include the phase 1 for alternative study, a phase 2 for the design and construction plans, the construction bid phase support, and then a 20% match for the right-of-way and construction. That would include the construction management component at $327,800. Do want to mention that the 20% is just a minimum. The town can select to have a higher match at a 25% or a 30% to make the LAP application more competitive. And we have submitted questions to CAMPO to figure out if that how that alters the scoring criteria based on percentages that the town is matching for. If it is a significant difference between a 20% match and a 30% match, what type of scoring difference that might make. And so the total contribution at that point for the project would be $688,424. And the next steps are looking at council's agreement, or seeking council's agreement and authorization to move forward with the phase two contract execution, which would basically start the work on the design plans, right-of-way plans, and construction plans. The funding application from the Capital Area MPO for the LAP program for the FFY 2020 cycle will open August 15, 2018 at their executive board meeting. So that's when they actually, the executive board takes action on opening the LAP cycle, and we have about 2 months to do the application. So we have to gear towards getting the design plans to a particular point where we can have good enough cost estimates to apply that project to LAP.
Hey, can you go back to the screen before this one?
Yeah.
So the 20% of the town's contribution estimated is 327. So considered more, and you said you asked them about what 30% would be. That would be about another $160,000, $165,000. So we're talking about a $500,000 roughly.
Yes, if you were to the town decided to go up to 30%, it would be at about, I think I did the math, is 460 or 470,000.
Okay. So somewhere between that and 500,000.
Yeah.
And you'll get an answer back on that soon, and we'll know that before we proceed.
Definitely. And we actually, the Capital Area MPO is invited. They do this every year. So before they open the LAP cycle, they have a applicant meeting, or training is what they call it. And that happens, August 21st. So I will be attending that. And if I don't have the answers by then I'll definitely have them that day. And we will, before we actually do a LAP submission, we will bring this back to town council to figure out exactly what percent match we would like to go in the application, as well as review the cost estimates once we've gone further into phase two of design.
We would appreciate you bringing that back to us, because that's we get one shot at it, and we don't want to swing and miss.
So we have pretty reasonable assurance that LAP funding will be available. It's just a matter of
how much.
How much, yeah.
Right. And just a matter of how competitive our application can be, and sort of how many different criteria it addresses in terms of safety and a lot of other things. And just to give you an idea, the overall budget for the LAP program is about $25 million. And they've divided that into, I think, 60% is for roadway projects, 20% for bike ped, and then there's some for transit as well.
Anyone else?
A comment. I'd ask Pat to go ahead to give us this breakdown. Go back, if you would, to the to that budget call breakdown. When I looked at the phase two design number, and I thought I remembered construction cost estimate being $1,294,000, 220 divided by 1.3 million seemed like a rather sizable number, and that percentage, and it wound up being a little over 17%. But when you add in the alternative study to preliminary design plus the 220, then it those two together makes it $330,000, and that is a 25.5% design. If you were to add in $30,000 and $150,000 for construction management and put all of those under engineering, that winds up being engineering being 40% of the construction cost. And I realize that there's a lot of services that are provided that are, quote, additional services that are not directly related to how you design a roadway, but there's there's some right-of-way mapping, there's some environmental surveys, there's a lot of other things, but I suppose a couple of things are in order. One, I'm in total shock, quite frankly, at the cost of engineering. And all I would request is that staff lean on the engineers, and I've been on the other side making requests, and I would never, ever have ever considered, never had the guts to have requested a 25% design fee. I would have expected to have been run out of the building. That's just a personal opinion. But it's an opinion that I represent on behalf of the citizens to say, be mindful of the engineering fees that are brought before us. That's my primary grandstanding for tonight.
Good job. Anyone else?
Well, let me ask one. I think we can do the bidding. I'm surprised the bidding phase would cost $30,000. Will we do the construction management in-house, you think?
When I talked to Tony in engineering department, I think he said we would have a better idea next year by the time in terms of what the engineering staff capabilities are, if we have additional staff or not, and sort of how some of these current ongoing projects work out by then. If we do get LAP approval in March 2019, then we would be looking at starting this project in the fall of 2019. So he was hesitant to say that we would be able to do construction management ourselves completely, and did indicate that we probably would need some support.
Yeah. Thank you.
Need a motion to authorize contract extension.
Well, okay. Would the motion be to authorize the town manager to move forward with the contract execution for phase two?
That's fine.
I'll move that we do that.
Second. Motion made and second. Further discussion. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, committee reports. We don't have any.
Neil?
You don't have any.
Just take it with a grain of salt, Neil. Mm-hmm. Neil?
Is it going to resident?
Okay, no committee reports. Mr. Manager, we need to report.
Under manager reports, you have Garner Info in the yellow in front of you, and then the finance report and building report. Also wanted to mention rec center tour scheduled for tomorrow morning for those that can make it at 10 o'clock. With Mr. Manager, with the rain that we're having tonight, we're still prepared to be there, but we just want to warn everyone that there is not a great way in the building that's not going to be muddy. And so we're happy to continue doing that tomorrow, or if because of the weather you'd like us to meet you at a different time, we can consider that as well. I think we postponed it last time because of the weather, so I don't know how many times for the entry into the building.
What, no red carpet rollout?
Red mud.
About how long do you anticipate the tour taking?
Our construction meeting is scheduled to start at 11, so we had planned to have as much as an hour if it was needed, but we can make it there's not a structured tour, so we can make it as long or as short as you'd like.
Could we meet a little earlier, 30 minutes earlier? I don't want to inconvenience others, but I've got an obligation. I'd love to get to it 10:15.
I can check and see if we'll have anyone there. For that, we've got the construction team scheduled,
okay.
But I think we could see if staff could be there a little early, if you'd like us to.
I don't know how the rest of the council members or what their schedule's like, but yeah, I'd be happy to start at 9:30.
We'll try to make that work. I know some of us have a meeting that ends at 9:30, but we'll try to get there or get someone there to meet you and escort you through. So we'll figure something out.
Okay.
How many did we need to accommodate with that request? 9:30 instead of 10?
I won't be able to attend. I've got a commitment at 10, so I won't be able to attend.
I'll be there.
I plan to be there.
I'll be there.
At 10.
When my boots.
I thought we said it was 10.
Mr. Mercer, could we leave it that we'll confirm with you in the morning if we can get someone there at 9:30?
I tell you what, let's just leave it at 10 o'clock. I mean, okay. That's the time we had. Most council members are working on that. So yeah, we can just leave it at 10.
Okay.
If I need to leave a little early, I can.
Item number 5, we don't really have an update for you. That's a carryover from our previous meeting, so we can mark through that. Update on the Hammond Timber Highway 70 improvements. Just want to let you know that the continuous flow intersection was the selected configuration for that improvement. And then there were some other things taken into consideration as a result of some of the public comment that they got. They did wind up making Jessup Drive a full movement intersection, so there will be the ability to make some left turns in several different directions, opposed to what they had in the initial design. So, and then there are some other configurations on some of the queuing lanes that they made longer. So that. All of that input they did listen and make some improvements based on that.
Did they take into consideration any type of sidewalks or pedestrian crosswalk there at all? I didn't know that anything was ever brought back. I was talking about taking a sidewalk up to the intersection up there near the shopping center, mm-hmm. not there. That intersection. I didn't know if anything was done.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that ended up. Do you know how that, the sidewalk configuration or John?
I'm asking it off the cuff. I'll say if you don't know, it's not going to change anything right now, so that's okay.
We'll take a look at it and see the sidewalk. We were so tuned in on the actual road, I didn't look at the sidewalk part of it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that they've got or retained the full movement intersection.
Me too.
Reminder about the board advisory dinner on Thursday. Starts at 6 o'clock, be at the Civitan Club. 6:30. Starts at 6:30. Dinner at 7. And if you could let the town clerk know if you plan to attend the Connect Conference. The deadline for that registration is coming near, so let her know as soon as possible. And then also on August 23rd, there will be a GPAC volunteer dinner, and that starts at 6 o'clock. Make that. And that concludes my report, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, the attorney got 2 issues. We'll come back to him. Counsel, Ken, what you got? Just one item. I think I just saw it today. I'm enthused about it. Is this the first year the town has been involved with it? What was it, a summer food program that actually is administered through the Community of Hope?
This is not the first year that the town's been actively involved. This is the first time, I believe, that it's been administered through the Community of Hope. Okay. So they were looking for some established outlets to be able to administer that program. They, if I'm not mistaken, they have administered out of the Avery Street area before, either the annex or the gym, but I think it was the annex. But this is the first time through that organization.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. Seems like a good way to coordinate that. That's all I have.
We'll be putting some information out on social media since it's a Wake County program, just to let the residents know that that's going on.
Kathy.
Yes, sir. I'd like to know where we are on the Greenway plan situation, whatever, over off of Buffalo Road, so that for pedestrian access to the parks. What are we?
Yeah, we're working on the design, reviewing the alternatives and that kind of thing. We have made significant progress, not quite enough to have it ready at the July work session, but we definitely will have everything ready to present to you all at the August work session.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And the second thing is that Several months ago, Councilmember Singleton mentioned the possibility or the need for us to consider having a splash pad as one of our recreation amenities, and I actually brought it up myself several years ago. And I'd like to keep that on the forefront to move ahead with that. Also, I'd like to suggest that council members and citizens who are interested have a look at the splash pad at Jack Smith Park on Penny Road in Cary. That's been active for quite a while, and that gives some idea of what it could look like and what we're talking about, and help garner to offer one more amenity that will draw people to our town.
I was in Havelock City. They have one. My wife said, if Havelock can have one, Garner will have one.
There you go. Yeah.
Unquote.
I'd like to do that. Okay, that's all.
Jackie Paris. Go ahead.
I'll second what Ms. Berger said. Towns a lot smaller than Garner have them. Something that we need. I'll talk with our staff about this another time. But seemed to be at Atlantic Beach last week, and they have a wonderful park, which includes a skate park and recreation park, and a wonderful splash pad. It's just jammy. Of course, you know, it's a place where people go anyway in the summertime. But I mean, I know the town of Farmer was considering one now and some grant money. Got some information from their staff on that. Fuquay's got a nice one. Numerous communities around here have. So, 2 weeks ago tonight was July 3rd celebration, and I want to thank staff for all the work they did. It was top notch from administration, Parks and Rec, police, public works, and everybody else who was involved. Thumbs up. A lot of positive things. The weather was good. It was a little hot to begin with, but it was good weather and well attended, of course. So, I want to thank staff, everyone involved for that. Really was another nice event. And one of our biggest events of the year. And just a thumbs up for positive feedback that I've heard. And from what all the staff know that, so they'll pass it along to all the departments. That's all for now.
Okay. Thank you. We'll do that.
I'll add my endorsement of the splash pad. The Public Works Committee has not had any reason to have meet in several months, but with the sale of the bonds and getting an update on how much money is left in a couple of the accounts, Gray and I have talked about instituting some, or at least having one meeting and then see where it goes from there. Probably need more than one, but to talk about the completion of the projects, find out exact status on funds that are available in all four phases. One of them, I know we've said it's closed out, 660 left on one and several million left on another. But to be specific and talk about the projects that we need to be thinking about and when we're going to get them back to council for adoption to move ahead with them. Another thing Tony had, Tony Chalk had brought up, it had been talked about for several years, and then we finally had the stormwater assessment done. And there's a couple of $1 million worth of improvements that are recommended there, and that will only grow. And that's an item is that would be a part of that, part of the discussion about capital improvements. Matt's been working on, I think that was a source about a CIP, a capital improvements program. And all of that leading to, we've got a lot of things in front of us, and ultimately getting back to us with here's what we're looking at down the road and when. And one of the main reasons of doing that is in the next 2 or 3 years, it might be sooner if you move ahead with certain projects, you may get to the point where you start thinking about the first project that you earmarked for use of any of the revenue savings program funds. So our whole thing is to initiate some discussions and so we can get back to council on a unified approach on capital improvements coming down the road. It's, I sent a note along to Rodney and he suggested that there'll be some updates for us in the, did you say the August work session?
August work session.
And then possibly have a meeting the following day, which would be a Wednesday, the 29th. But anyhow, that's just background information to say this is what's in public works, what's on our mind right now, and where we're headed.
The August work session made sense because we will have just sold bonds, and that will give us a chance to, update some of our models and, you know, confer with our financial advisors and have some more up-to-date information, more accurate information as we begin to talk about these other projects.
All positive. Looking forward.
Let me tell you about positive. I spent an hour and a half with the fire chief last Thursday. I've never seen him so happy. He's a jovial fellow. He loves everybody. We love him. Fire department's feeling good about what we're trying to do in time. So y'all go visit Matthew if you get a chance.
In the new digs, right?
It's nice. Okay, we gotta go to closed session.
Well, I move that we go to closed session per the two statutes cited by the attorney.
Those would be NCGS 143.318.11A1 and 3 to confer with counsel regarding prospective litigation, and NCGS 143.318.11A5 to discuss plans for acquisition right away in easements.
I second that. Okay, we're in closed session.
Regular session, into closed session, and discuss potential litigation, also potential real estate acquisition, and took no action.
Move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor. Somebody said it was 10 minutes. 10 year old. Come on.
We're going to adjourn.